according to Matthew.
Glory to God.
After the wise men had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother with you, and escape into Egypt and stay there until I tell you, because Herod intends to search for the child and do away with him." So Joseph arose and, taking the child and his mother with him, left that night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod was dead. And this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." After Herod's death, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother with you, and go back to the land of Israel, for those who wanted to kill the child are dead." So Joseph arose and, taking the child and his mother with him, went back to the land of Israel. But when he learnt that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as ruler of Judea, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee, and there he settled, in a town called Nazareth. In this way the words spoken through the prophets were to be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is nothing sentimental in the body of the gospel about the family of Jesus. And if we were left with only the body of the gospel, we would receive a very poor impression of it. When the family of Jesus come to find him, and he is busy proclaiming the word, he refuses to leave his task to come to them, and turns to the messenger and says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And pointing to those sitting listening to him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who listens to the word of God and keeps it is my sister and brother and mother." And that impressive moment in the life of our Lord alerts us to a very special note about the Holy Family. And that is that the natural family has to give way to a new spiritual family which is formed at the call of Christ. So as we celebrate the feast of the Holy Family today, we're not simply thinking about the nuclear family which has come down to us in history and society as the great building block of our society, because that is a family which again and again is modified, changed, and often even refused by Jesus. And if we wanted to go through the whole of the four Gospels, looking at the mention of Jesus' family, we should discover that there is no single place where they're mentioned without that note being brought in. "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" That statement of Jesus stands whenever he meets his family, that the work of God the Father supersedes the natural work of the family. And when Simeon says to Mary, as they come to the temple with the baby to be presented, "A sword will pierce your own soul too," he is saying the same thing, that as a mother, Mary is going to suffer from this child. And all the way through, that sword is slowly coming into Mary's life as she has to surrender her role as a natural relative in favour of a new relationship, which is that of a disciple. And at the end of her story, as she stands at the foot of the cross and watches her son die, she is taught by him, it's almost his last act on earth, as he sees the disciple he loved standing near her and says, "Woman, this is your son, and to the disciple, this is your mother. And from that moment, the disciple took Mary into his home. A new relationship based on discipleship, not a natural one based on the family. Now, what's that got to do with us? I asked somebody yesterday, a young member of our parish, what he thought was important about a family. And he replied very movingly, family is there to care for one another. And when I can't do something, my mother and father, my brother and sister will come to help me. And when they need help, I shall come to help them. I said, that sounds like a good deal for everybody. And he said, that is how I try to make it. Great wisdom, a 9-year-old. But it doesn't work out like that, in fact. And we may sometimes feel that we are sad because it doesn't work like that. It's not a cooperative. And in fact, tremendous amounts of love go waste in a family. It's like trying to keep sand in a string bag, falling through the holes. A lot of the love we feel for one another in a family is wasted, unappreciated, unnoticed, and certainly unrewarded. And the very structure of the family means that it inevitably leads not to mutual self-interest and everybody patting each other on the back, but to sacrifice, the laying down of our lives for one another. And in this, the family as it really is begins to look a little like the family to which Jesus called his own parents when he said, I must be about my Father's business. And therefore, those who look at the family, as happens several times a day on the media, and says, has the family got a future? And is the family going to survive? Have got it profoundly wrong. I heard a woman saying yesterday on the radio, I think the royal family is doing us all a great service because they're all busy getting divorced. And divorce is going to be an increasing part of everybody's life in the future. And so it's good that the royal family is showing us the way and giving us a lead. Now that's a piece of sociological phrase making. And for anyone who knows what marital breakdown really is, it is a piece of cruelty and a piece of nonsense. The family has a future, not because it's a good piece of sociology, but because in its sharing and protecting of sacrificial love, it is the path to life. And it is the path which Jesus meets us on as made flesh. He comes into a human family and leads it, often with great pain, towards Calvary. Because in Calvary, we enter into the mystery of our rebirth and our salvation. Let us proclaim our faith.